Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Strong Principles. My name is Larry Medina.
I'm Zach Bragg.
I'm Pete Miller.
And I'm Rob Dela Cruz. So today we're going to get into one. It's a little nerdy on programming. So like the concept we always kind of look is when we program for adaptation. We don't program exercises. We program for adaptation. So it's like you go ahead and you train for the adaptation, and then we'll test for the performance to see if, hey, we are able to elicit those adaptations. So there's like big concepts, and sometimes you hear these buzzwords, and you hear GPP, which is general physical preparedness. CrossFit, a bunch of programs kind of like use that. Mm-hmm. And what that means is you're generally touching a bunch of things. You're kind of doing a whole bunch of stuff. They call it mixed modality, do a bunch of modalities. Some people call it qualities. You're doing a lot of qualities. And it's everything, power, physical, speed, endurance, all mixed together. And then you have SPP. And those are like a lot of times you see that in sports. And some people call it like sports specific preparation, but really it's specific preparation, like preparedness.
Physical.
On there. So the thing is, what you're looking at is you dive into the old literature, which I did years ago, and I kind of read it. And then I recently dove in there because I had like quite a bit of time to look at things for a while and just nerd out. I miss some things. And I truly believe a lot of coaches and programs miss this. When you first go in, you're looking at the Eastern Bloc, Russian literature, German, like all around those areas. They did a lot of work. That's where a lot of it came out. And so what they were doing is their athletes were doing their sports specific. When they would get done with a competition or they would get done with the Olympics or a meet or whatever, they would just rest. So then they would go backwards. So they're trying to figure out how for them not to go backwards, but burn them up by doing the same movements too often. So they came up with the concept of GPP, okay? So what they did is they end up figuring out is they have them do a whole bunch of things, and so what it's doing, it's just touching elements. And so what it was doing was showing that GPP is a good program to help maintain for a small amount of time skill, strength, and endurance that you already have. It was good at that for a small amount of time, and then you eventually go backwards. So they went ahead and dove into it deeper. So you're looking at this where the program went wrong. When they used too much GPP, it was a detriment to skill, strength, and endurance. Mm-hmm. So right there, that alone, a lot of people believe, so it would say like CrossFit, your general prepared, so the general population does real well with GPP. There's a couple of reasons. There's two elements that do really well with GPP. Higher level athletics that already have skill, mm-hmm. strength, and endurance, and beginners. Mm-hmm. Because it's a newbie game.
Such a loud stimulus, yeah.
So now think about this. GPP is fantastic when you've already built the base to help maintain for a small period of time. What it's really bad is helping you build a base.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because like the big people early on were like powerlifters or gymnasts that were like high-level gymnasts,
yep.
right? And yes. speaking specifically CrossFit.
Yes.
Yeah, and so they go ahead and they've done programs where it's specific NGP together. Too much GPP becomes detriment at the skill, the strength, and it's just too many signaling. Yeah. So now when we look back, we're like, oh, wait, a lot of these coaches and a lot of programs, they missed that element where you can do well with having a GP program, mixed modality, is a little bit of GPP with the specific mixed in.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But most of the time, you need to have designated strength work, proper conditioning work, and then let them work on those skills.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes total sense too, because when you think about the application of this, when we were coming from, this was being applied to higher level athletes who when they were doing whatever that they were doing, their competition, their sport, tournaments, whatever it was, that is the bulk of their season, quote unquote, right? So that's the bulk of their time. They were doing specific physical preparation. And then they're using basically, I always knew it as GPP as being in the off season. It was like, that's your off season work.
And that was their periodization. Yes.
Yeah. And that was, but It makes total sense because the off season is not as long. And so you're putting much more work in the specific stuff. And so that's why they were so much better after coming off the GPP.
Yeah, so they were maintaining within a certain realm.
Within a realm, yeah.
Which GPP is really good. Yeah. But we got sold, and what a lot of people saw in general population was they got better because they're working on these qualities, but then you didn't pay attention to like the people that got the best, but then you had this messy middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, a beginner gets better almost at anything for a little while.
Yeah.
And then a really good athlete, it maintains, and sometimes they get a little better just from the maintenance of it because they didn't go backwards. But there's this big, messy middle that no one paid attention that was already in the literature.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And
yeah.
You still see it. You'll see it in the CrossFit modality, but still some of these other programmers that came from CrossFit, you'll see it where they do a strength and then a Metcon. And they always have to have their general physical preparedness after the strength because they think they're getting more volume or more work, and they're really not. They're blunting the strength that they did, and they're sending too much signal, and every day is a GPP day.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I could get into like interference effect and all this, but like all the programs are kind of based on like, oh, we're just doing a bunch of stuff. It could be Orange Theory, your latest boot camp, whatever strength camp, whoever's doing whatever. But they're misunderstanding what GPP was set up for. It was never set to build. And yes, does it build brand new people a lot of times? Yeah, because they're not doing much. You're just going to get better no matter what because now you're doing something.
Yeah, novelty.
But it's a good program for maintaining qualities that you've built over time. So the way, because I'm a firm believer in GPP, so it's not like I'm like anti-GPP by any means, but the majority of your time should be in the specifics and designated times on things, on strength and endurance work.
Mm, exactly. And that works perfectly in line with our program, and that's why we're training to adapt most of the time. And then the tests are just, you're just showing how much adaptation you've had. You're not building anything during the test periods.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of always worked on it, but once you dive in, I'm like, did everybody like skip?
Miss it.
A couple of pages on what these guys were putting together years ago? Or did they just see and it's like, oh, this works great. It keeps this and new people get better and didn't pay attention to what they were really seeing? And or could they just not like dissect, like pay attention? Because only recently AI has really been able to like show us what literature from other countries really say. So you can basically translate that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it that or is it that, you know, you do get a little bit of that with those workouts, right? You do get a lot of dopamine, so it's very addictive.
Yeah,
you know. So is it a little bit of combination of all of that, right? You kind of like get the dopamine effect, and you're like, oh, this feels great. Yep. So you just chase the dragon, if you will.
Correct. Yeah, and not like pick on CrossFit and whoever else, but in the beginning, way back when they had a little more designated strength days with their mixed modality, a lot less, or they were like designated endurance days. They just never had it laid out properly. It was kind of like half-assed basically on any of the strength or any endurance work. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of like they got convoluted and they went down wrong elements. But then everybody grabbed a hold of their information thinking like, hey, this is the way. And then everybody started running with it. I even see like pretty good coaches going that route. And I listened to like a pretty good coach about GPP and I'm like, he's totally off. He misunderstood what he was reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, but it makes a lot of sense now I'm saying it. But when everything first came out, everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is the way to go. But in actuality, a little bit of it, but much more specific, is actually the way to go to really see long, sustainable games and be a more effective program for everything, for general population.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yep.
Yeah, so with that in mind, you know, you were doing a lot of research on it. So people hear this and they think, okay, so if they understand that you know, you have basically you're building, you're not just testing all the time.
Yep.
But I mean, I know the answer, but just kind of getting your thoughts on it. How often would you trade off the two?
Yeah, so like there's a couple of trains of thought. I like the best way is the majority of the work should be about 75 to 85% of building and then only testing or bringing together a bunch of different modalities. So you're looking at 4 days a week of proper endurance and strength training and 1 day to 2 days at the most.
Testing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when I look at a program, I always look at it and say, like, what is the adaption they're trying to get from this, right? Yep. So you train for the adaption. Mm-hmm. You test to reveal it. Mm-hmm. So if you're just constantly testing to see what you've revealed, you're not building anything. You're just retesting and testing and testing. So we want to train to it for the adaption. But you'll see a lot of these guys – they'll put their busy workout and they'll call it GPP.
Yeah.
Because that's just a coverall for everything. Oh, it's GPP.
Makes it look better.
Yeah.
Makes
and it I mean, I'm makes a, it look smarter, like they know what they're talking about, but it's just busy work. It's
I'm a firm believer in work capacity. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But if you, if too much, like what people don't realize, too much GPP becomes a detriment.
Oh, yeah.
So there is like this effective dose, obviously, which then you can build on top of it. But it's a lot less than people realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the way I would. That's how I laid out.
I would say also is this like GPPs is more fun, right? Like,
no doubt about
like,
it.
Like the strength training is boring, right? Yeah. But I say this all the time. Like the boring is what gets people successful, right? Like the boring stuff is what makes you good at the end of the day.
Yeah, because if you look at it like this, that boring stuff makes that GPP more effective. Mm-hmm. Instead of just doing four GPP workouts, you're mostly working on strength, and then when you do it, it's a more effective workout. You're stronger. You pace better. You move through cleaner. Better ranges of motion. Like, all that makes it more effective.
Yeah, and people are so shocked by how much better they get because a lot of people feel the opposite. Like, oh, I'm not going into the pain cave enough. I'm going to get worse, you know, or I'm not going through these grueling workouts enough or these tests enough that I'm going to get worse. But in reality, then you actually set them back.
Yep.
And there's that's a difficult transition. That's a difficult period of time for these type of people who are stuck in this because they definitely feel like they're not doing enough at first. But then you give it a couple months and all of a sudden their test days start to look a lot better. And they're moving a lot better.
You're 100% right. I'm going to make an analogy. And so CrossFit, all these programs that kind of like mix stuff together, they're like a multi-tool, like a Leatherman. Okay, so you go in your house and you get the screwdriver out, you need a pair of pliers, you do these things. You don't want to build a house with the Leatherman. That take you forever?
Right.
You need the proper tools to build the foundation. Once the house is built, the Leatherman is great. You don't have to bring out this big drill and I don't have to get this already. I don't need these big set of wrenches or whatever it is. So you got to understand like the tools. It's a good tool after you spend a lot of time on things and only using it sometimes.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy. I like that. And it kind of goes back to thinking about it like sport, too. You know, high-level athletes, they're not just competing all the time.
Yeah.
They're spending most of their time training and practicing.
Yeah.
And we want to look at our training methodologies the same exact way.
Yeah, they do this. What they do is they spend, like, athletics spend a lot of time on the skill work. You're better off spending time on the skill work. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to GPP, the skill work is actually the strength work and actually the endurance work.
Yep.
That's where you want to spend more of the time on that separately.
Yeah. I saw something that was to what you're saying. It was, don't forget the practice and focus on the scoreboard. You know, that's the whole idea that you want to look at the practice and get your work in, not just the end result, the test. So don't confuse practice with the scoreboard.
Yeah, that'll be another day of the behaviors that timed workouts breed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the way we organize our program, then kind of getting into that, which we've talked about in other podcasts too, but it goes right in line with this. We have our set strength days.
Yeah.
We have our set endurance days. Yep. We have our set aerobic days. And then we're working on certain systems every specific day, those specific systems, to try to create that adaptation specifically, not throwing extra stuff on top of this, which would create a completely different stimulus or blunt the stimulus to the one we're trying to intend. And then we have one day a week testing.
Now, don't get me wrong. There is an argument like if you never mixed your modalities or your qualities and then you go and mix them, you go,
this could be hard.
Yeah, because you didn't do it.
You never done it, yeah.
So it's like you didn't do it. So you do.
Which is also
a
skill.
Yeah, correct. So you do have to understand how that works, too. So I'm not saying never do it.
And that's what I love about your programming. I could come to you every day and say, what's the adaptation for this? And you'll tell me Mondays. And even on Tuesday, what's the adaptation you're trying to drive on this conditioning? And you'll tell me the pathway of that conditioning. Like, you build your programming out on adaptation, not on exercises, which is why it's smart and why it's effective.
Yeah, and why it works for so many people, too. You know, you get too preset on specific exercises and you just kind of get stuck. Yeah, exactly. Well, very cool.
Yep.
Awesome, guys. So a little bit more understanding on programming, just kind of an overview, the difference between GPP, the real difference between GPP and SPP, why most people should be spending their time focused on the stimulus, or the specific adaptation, rather, and not just spending all the time doing basically testing or GPP. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Strong Principles.